from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Dustin, again, where the hell's Jerry Reinsdorf? I thought we said let's reach out to him, and why are we struggling now?
Well, if I were a fan, I'd be pissed. I'd be very angry.
This is what I would like Friday's show to look like.
Thank you.
I want to have Tory Taylor probably in the 9 o'clock hour.
Nice. Let him sleep in.
Come on, man. What's with all these? This is trying snakes.
We want Ron Coomer on Friday at 8. That's a staple.
Happy Friday. It is Friday, right? Yes.
Have to talk to the
Coomer. We'd like Jerry Reinsdorf at 7 o'clock. He's up early. Let's go.
He's got to be awake.
We have at least 6 questions for Jerry Reinsdorf that would be worth answering.
That's it.
Now go ahead and ask me whatever you want to ask me, and I'll answer whatever I feel like.
See, that's perfect.
Fair enough. All I want to know is the plan.
And if we're not going to be in an Ohtani race. I'll tell you that right now.
I would also like, by the way, I don't want to get greedy here, but if I want Saban.
Appreciate your interest in the game.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dustin, where the hell is Nick Saban?
I want Saban.
I don't know.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
You want it to be a fast Friday, you know, and a fast, focused Friday.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Well, our show looks pretty good, buddy. I don't see Nick Saban on the list, and Jerry Reinsdorf isn't here, but Chris Getz will join us. That's
yeah, who needs
good.
Them? We're ready. We got Chris Getz at 7:30. We've got Bruce at 7. He's going to have information. The White Sox made big news yesterday.
Oh, they did.
They did while we were on the air. And then throughout the day, Chris Getz met the media. They fired Pedro Grifol. A lot of conversation about what's next. Cubs and Sox tonight on the South Side. Caleb Williams makes his debut tomorrow in Buffalo. This is going to be a huge weekend.
You're missing the gold medal game tomorrow morning at like the crack of dawn.
I was getting to it.
I'm just saying, there's a lot to choose from.
I know there's a lot to choose from. There's a smorgasbord of sports over the weekend. So we're going to be well-fed. This is going to be a great show. It is going to be a fast Friday. Thanks, Flusie. Steve Stone, 9 o'clock. Big time, 8:25. What are we going to do? Who needs Tory Taylor? Who needs Saban?
Well, I mean, it'd be nice.
They're on the list. Yes. So, yeah, good morning, Mully. It's Friday. We did make it, Dustin. We made it. And yesterday was a newsy day. A lot of conversation about the future of the White Sox. A lot of speculation about who might be next and who isn't going to be next.
Well, that was more the breaking part of the news, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's more curious to find out who's not on the list than who is.
Well, I think I'm looking forward to Chris Getz explaining why he eliminated people who are not currently in a major league uniform, which seemed to be the case. He backtracked that a little bit, but that was initially the impression he left, was that people who aren't active right now will not be considered, eliminating guys like A.J. Pierzynski, guys like Ozzie Guillen, Joe Maddon, David Ross. Those are some big names.
Yep. Yep, no question about it. We'll go over all of that and have a fun show as we kind of break down everything. As you say, I mean, Dustin complained there wasn't much juice for Cubs Sox. Well, there's juice now. There's juice. You're looking at maybe managerial jump. Of course, they're sold out. Yeah, I mean, did that happen overnight or were they sold out? Because I think Cub fans should go. I also read, Dustino, maybe we ought to look this one up or discuss it later, that the Cubs have the easiest record remaining in the National League. So mm-hmm. that is a good thing to think about if indeed they're going to fire it up and make a playoff run.
Well, that is a big deal that they have a relatively light schedule, easy schedule, when you're talking about things like five games back of the wild card. And
yes.
Get to 500, then we'll talk.
Okay.
But I do think that when they get there, if they get there, then what you just said about the schedule being favorable in September, those two words, in September, will mean a lot more if they can put themselves in a position to seize that opportunity. I don't know if they can. Jameson Taillon goes tonight against Crochet. They have an opportunity to win two games in the South Side.
Is that Craig Timber? Or are we in Craigust? I'm just trying to.
Oh, I love that. We have 22 days to debate how we're going to deal with the next month on the calendar.
It's fun.
Just really quick, just in case anybody's still in, there are general admission tickets still available, and there are scout seats still available.
Ooh. Is that right?
So the price range on the White Sox, this is from the White Sox website, $99 for general admission. And up to $524 for those scout seats.
Seriously, Dustin, do you think anybody out there, baseball fan, whether it's a Cubs fan or maybe a Sox fan whose interest has been revived a little bit, rekindled, do you think anybody is more likely to want to go today than they were yesterday at this time before the firing?
Absolutely. When we had the question about the juice not being there, I went to the same website and there were many more. If you're familiar with like the Ticketmaster and Major League Baseball, there were a lot more blue seats available. Now, I can't say, I don't know if there were hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of tickets available, but right now there are very limited tickets. But you can get into the ballpark for $99.
I suspected there might be a little bounce in interest.
Plus, Garrett Crochet is throwing tonight, right? That helps.
18 pitches.
And it's going to be a gorgeous night. That helps.
Yeah. Is he throwing again? Is this it for him? That's one of the questions.
Sure. Is this his farewell to 2024?
It's one of the questions.
Hello, Cubs. Goodbye season. That would be appropriate given what they plan to do with him this offseason if they are, in fact, going to shop him the way that Bob Nightingale suggested. Another question for Chris Getz. The plan for Garrett Crochet. That may be as big as what they're going to do with the manager.
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I heard him yesterday mention the situation. He was asked about their relationship again and whether there's a chance of kind of extending him, whatever. And that was there was kind of a non-answer about that part of it. But there was, he said kind things about how the two of them have this shared experience.
Yes, he did. He did sound that.
But I didn't hear him say they're shutting him down. I'm very curious to talk to Chris Getz.
Yeah, I'm glad that he agreed to come on the program.
I agree.
And I think it's a good opportunity for him to establish what he talked about yesterday. I think it's important for the White Sox to have a cohesive message that's
totally agree.
That is projected in a strong, clear, simple way. And I think the stronger, the clearer, and the more simple that he is in terms of approaching this, the better it's going to be for them because there's too much
Michigan man
about the White Sox that is murky and cloudy and fuzzy. Where does Tony La Russa, where does he play a role in all of this? How involved was he in this decision to do it now?
Did you read Sully's column?
Yes.
Tony all over it?
Yes.
I mean, I'm just saying there are a lot of questions regarding who's calling the shots.
These are great questions. We'll talk about a lot of this throughout the show and on the pick six. But you're right. I'm very distracted now because now you have me thinking about the Cubs in September and why Craig Counsell was brought here. Because if they're in a position to make a move, it will become Craig Timber. And now I can't think of anything else.
Well, I mean, the thing is, there could be the new manager bump. You got to think of Grady Sizemore and his role in this thing and whether he earns himself a nickname at some point. And I think I have yet to recover from yesterday afternoon. Perfect time of a game for me, 2 o'clock. Getting camped out in front of USA Basketball. Holy guacamole.
Oh, my gosh.
I was working that text message pretty strong, and I was not getting a ton of response.
Well, I was doing a lot of things at once, Molly. You got to understand, I'm multitasking at the time.
I need people to stop.
I have.
And I felt like I was sending that out, like, hey, you got
to
watch
this. I know,
this.
But I was watching it. And I don't need to bore you with the details, but the details were, okay, I've got the game on a television set, watching with the sound down.
You got the Zoom up with Chris
Getz. No, that was over.
I know.
That was over by then. But I had my laptop looking at other stuff. But we're preparing, actually maybe in the midst of doing the Take the North podcast with Dan Wiederer, trying to watch
starters playing.
LeBron James.
Lucy came down and said
Caleb Williams is going
to
start.
After he talked to the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Got all this stuff. Jesse Jackson showed up at Hallis Hall.
I wonder if that'll be on Hard Knocks.
You know that it will.
Look at Brandon laughing and pointing at me.
You're exactly right.
That's why he's there.
You know that it will.
I was like, that's Hard Knocks right there.
Hard Knocks debuts on a Tuesday night, and Jesse Jackson's at Hallis Hall on a Thursday. Okay. You think those two things are related or not?
That'll make next week's bingo board for Dan and Layla and Lawrence.
Yeah. Interesting. I thought Flusie was very gracious in pointing that out and what he had to say about Reverend Jesse Jackson, so that was interesting. But anyway,
fun stuff though that they're playing. They're actually playing tomorrow. We're going to see the beginning of the Caleb Williams era.
That is fun. Yeah, the playing starters for about a quarter.
Mm.
We're going to see Bills versus Bears. Josh Allen is going to play. It's going to be a good test for the secondary, at least to get something on tape, something to look at. There will be no Nate Davis. He's week to week, not day to day. But the offensive line will be four fifths intact.
Grody's got to be happy.
He took the day off. He's so happy.
They actually answered his question.
They answered his question. Yeah. He's celebrating today. He's taking the day off. So
if we ever need anything, if we have a pressing, urgent need to know some news, we just got to tell Grody to go crazy about it.
I'm sick of it. Media.
There you go.
Bears. You mentioned Grady Sizemore. Very odd
good
choice.
Player.
Very good player.
Okay, let's not talk about managerial experience or anything. Who is a better player, Craig Timber or Grady Sizemore?
Grady Sizemore was a better player, right? Craig Counsell has the
game over.
Has the World Series rings though to counter that. I mean, so that he had a more productive career
decorated?
In terms of more decorated career, maybe. Although Grady Sizemore had a lot of awards, Craig Counsell has a better jewelry collection. I'd say that. So I got a question though.
As a player. Just in case.
Why are you blocking it up? Why are you mudding everything up with managerial talk?
Well, he's getting,
we're talking about as a player,
40 some games to experiment as the manager. Very odd choice.
Whatever he does, he can't get the job.
So if the game goes to extra innings tonight, they should come out in their short sleeve hoodies and come up to bat. Grady Sizemore, he should lead off at his half of the inning, and Counsell should lead off.
Grady Sizemore was a very good player. Craig Counsell was a very
three-time All-Star,
productive player too. But as far as their careers are compared as baseball players, I don't think there's much.
Wouldn't that be
comparison.
Funny though?
It might be funny.
I'll take Grady Sizemore right now than any of these Sox players. I'll have him lead off.
Can Grady Sizemore bat third?
Put himself in the game.
That's right.
Always, player manager.
Always a problem.
No, that would get people out.
Always a problem when the manager, when the coach, his best move would be to put himself in.
That's not good. That means you don't have much roster depth, depending on who the manager is.
That reflects as much on the roster as on the manager or the coach.
Yeah, I think that reflects poorly on
the time when Michael Jordan said, forget this, and I'm going down there and this team sucks. Let me go down there and show them.
That's exactly right.
Exactly right. Grady Sizemore, pretty interesting story. He, after his decorated baseball career, went to the Diamondbacks.
$17 an hour?
Well, is that what he's making now, or is that what he was making then?
Did he get a bump when he came to Chicago?
I'm not quite sure. Was that what made him most appealing? He would work for less than $20 an hour?
The assistant general manager was then at Arizona and helped him get a gig for $17 an hour.
Hazen.
Then he comes to Chicago, and then they get him a piece of the coaching staff. They get him on the coaching staff, and now he's the manager. He doesn't have a lot of experience. As a player, he does, and as a baseball guy, he does, but he hasn't ever managed before at any level, right?
Is that accurate? No, he has not. I thought this was interesting, and tell me if you know, I always like the conspiracy theories.
That's you.
Lawrence kind of hinted without saying it, so I'm going to interpret what Lawrence said. I want to hear what you guys think. Like, that Montoyo would have been named the interim, but he wasn't given a bump, so he basically said, without a bump, I'm out, and that's why he's not here anymore.
So Sizemore's willing to do it for $17 an hour. So he
just a bump from his internship with the Diamondbacks, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do we know that?
No, I just find that.
Is he reporting that?
I don't know if he was reporting it, suggesting it. I just thought that was interesting. While I wanted to do a victory lap for the Sox because I love the fact that you don't promote the guy who's been sitting next to the guy that's accounted for the worst tenure in White Sox history.
Yeah, I'll say this. I thought it would be Charlie Montoyo. It wasn't him. I don't know the reasons why. So right. I don't know that I really feel comfortable speculating about that.
No, I just thought it was an interesting...
Yeah,
like,
it's an interesting observation.
Could that be the reason?
There are a lot of reasons it could be. I think the White Sox brought up their AAA manager to coach third base.
That's interesting.
Justin Dierschle.
Well, because he knows the players, presumably, right?
Yeah,
he's
but
watched
wasn't,
their career.
Wasn't he at one point the kind of the manager they were grooming to be the guy? I wonder if he is still going to be a candidate for the job because...
You're saying after this season, will he stay as the third base coach?
Or will he be a managerial candidate because he was so highly thought of?
He's in a uniform, but he's in the organization. It's supposed to be someone outside the organization, but in a uniform.
I think we need him to clarify that. That may be the part of the strong, clear, simple message that seems a little muddled right now because he did kind of go back at the end of the press conference and imply that, well, you know, if it's the right guy and he's not in uniform now.
It did sound, though, like what he was really saying is it's not A.J. Arazi.
He did seem to be indicating that. And I don't think that he wants to bring those two guys and what they represent in terms of a
championship
sideshow.
Sorry.
Or it could be championship. That is surprising to me that they would be so quick to eliminate either guy. Now, Ozzy may be an edict from Jerry Reinsdorf because they may think that. And I think Ozzy understands this too, that they just don't feel comfortable going that direction.
Is it wrong that I see everything as an edict from Jerry Reinsdorf?
No, I don't think that's wrong. I don't think that's cynical. I think that's probably a very experienced way to look at this picture because the question isn't necessarily, and I think people will react, and Sully is right, really good column, strong column in the Tribune, chicagotribune.com. Sully's been here forever. I understand that Jerry Reinsdorf, you can't do anything about it's his organization. He's still here.
Yes.
I do believe that judging Skip Schumacher or eliminating him or disqualifying him as a potentially good manager isn't fair to him. And doing that on the basis of his relationship or proximity to Tony La Russa in his career, I don't know that I'm ready to go there yet. I understand why people would say, well, you know, if La Russa has a hand.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, listen, every guy that's mentioned, people try to figure out how he's related to the Old Boys Network because this is all the Old Boys Network.
Yeah.
So I get it. And you're right. He's a legitimate managerial candidate. He's going to be out of a job in Miami. The rumors are that he'll be here in Chicago. That sounds great to me. I'm still wondering who wants this job.
Well, I think
I can't help but wonder
that's a very good question. But I guess what I'm saying, I'm asking you because I don't want to be on an island here, and I'm curious about other the fact that
should that disqualify him because he has a relationship with?
Yeah,
absolutely not.
Okay, but if he comes to Chicago, you know that's going to be one of the first reactions.
Yeah. I
well,
mean,
La Russa picked him, so he can't manage. He's going to be – this is more of the same.
He's been a manager.
Don't give him a chance.
Manager of the year. I got no problem with him whatsoever.
Okay. I am with you, but yeah. I know that there were some people that don't agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how you get a guy if you get the right guy.
Exactly. And he could be the right guy. And here's the other thing. I talked to a baseball person yesterday that mentioned this, or not cautioned me, but – reminded me not to be so fast in assuming that Skip Schumacher will pick the White Sox or end up in Chicago.
Exactly.
There are going to be other jobs available.
Yes, there will.
The Atlanta job is speculated. There's speculation that Snitker is going to walk away, and there's going to be an opening that's going to be appealing to a lot of guys who are qualified and considered good younger managers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could be somebody that, if that job's open and you're considering, well, don't want to talk to Atlanta or don't want to talk to the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, you can make all your plans and you can schedule all your interviews. If people aren't interested in what your pitch is, then all of a sudden it's going to be difficult to hire someone. Mm-hmm. There's only 30 of these jobs. I think people want them. I think you'll get people that want to be here. I just think, when you look at the situation, and if you have an opportunity to go to another place, you owe it to yourself and to your career to examine all possibilities.
No question about
Everyone
it.
Everyone does.
That's exactly right. So that's going to be a lot of the conversation today. I'm curious, and I didn't see this yesterday, but I was very busy watching the Olympics, so you wouldn't be disappointed in me. And
love
I was
you.
Watching.
Thank
and,
you.
Getting prepared.
It's almost over, buddy.
Noah Lyles and all the track and field.
Boy,
oh,
how
my
about
God.
That? He competed with COVID.
We need to get back to that. But did I miss anything from Pedro Grifol? Did he make a statement? Was he interviewed? Did he
I
see
did not
anything
hear from
anywhere?
Pedro. I did not reach out to him personally because I don't know him. But no, I have not heard.
I didn't know we missed anything.
Let me ask something. I love that you are being as thorough as you are as a human, and you check to see that. Pretty much last guy I wanted to hear from.
Okay.
Dustin, I'd love to hear Jerry Reinsdorf on the show. And I don't – if we get first bite at Pedro, do you want to do that interview? I'm not even – yeah, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. What are you going to do now?
Well, if you were ranking – I find this very interesting. You say something and get your head moving, and that's what's so great about this. When you talk about all the people – connected around this, really
sure.
bad situation.
Yep.
If I could hear in a court, Jerry, of course, but I just worry about one word answers and he does it to say he did it, but he doesn't really tell.
Doesn't matter. He's saying if Jerry Reinsdorf were to come and do an interview, one word answers, and he wants to be kind of reticent, that's part of the story.
But I think Rick Hahn is like the home run.
Oh, really?
This is the content versus name value.
Really?
Because I think Rick Hahn would tell us. I think Rick Hahn would spew. I think Rick Hahn would let it all out. And I think we'd find
I don't think.
I have very little interest.
I'd be very curious to hear what he had to say, but I don't agree with you. I think that Rick is probably in his best interest, whether it be not to speak or not to badmouth anyone.
Rick Hahn would be a double in the gap, okay? Kenny Williams would be a home run.
But again,
I just think the person
that's going to tell you the most truths, in my opinion, is Rick Hahn.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
Not on the air.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
But back to the Pedro thing.
But I'll talk to Rick Hahn. Let's get everyone on. Let's go through the whole list. CSI of Chicago Sports Radio. Let's just bring in everyone and see what they have to say and compare all the notes and find out how the cadaver became a cadaver.
So you'd have no interest in talking to Pedro Grifol?
No, I would. I just, I it's still too fresh.
It's still too soon.
I wouldn't be interested in hearing him tell me what a great man Jerry is. Do you see
what I'm saying? He would be fourth on the list because he's still going to get paid all next year.
But he's on the list.
He's fourth.
You've got to, I think, follow through. And I'd be curious to see, and I haven't read all the stories, if anybody tried.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Because what happens, and we can speak to this, been here long enough, but when people leave town, I'm always surprised at how little interest there is in what they have to say once they're gone. Because whether it's an ex-player or an ex-manager. It's kind of just, or an ex-coach. I sense that historically, once they leave, it's like, okay, they're gone. We're not really worried or interested in hearing what you have to say now.
If you're covering a team and you develop a relationship with someone, you keep in touch with them.
You keep in touch with them, but you're not quoting them, though.
No, you're not, you're not quoting.
That's what I mean.
You're absolutely right.
For your readers, for your viewers, for your listeners, right. I don't think there's always that appetite to hear from the people after they leave.
I totally agree with that.
I still cannot believe, and I'm not criticizing anybody.
Ross.
But I can't believe David Ross has gone this long without giving anybody an audience.
He's probably heading back into baseball next year, and he doesn't think
it's
it would be
August 9th.
Him.
He's still getting paid, though, so that's part of it. He probably can't talk or doesn't want to say.
You think they made him sign a non-disclosure agreement or something?
Well, I think part of the agreement
I almost think it's boilerplate at this point. Like, everybody, if you're still getting paid, you can't say anything disparaging about the organization.
There are ways to talk without saying anything, and I guess I'm just curious.
Maybe by not saying anything speaks 1,000 words.
Okay, fair enough. That could be the case. It always strikes me as it's become more consistent.
Yeah, it's a great point, David. All right, we've got the pick six. My God, do we have things to talk about? So many good things, curious things to talk about. We're going to get into it. We're going to tear it all apart.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Discuss it all with the pick six. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss option. Are you as juiced as the Flus? The Caleb and Company will make their preseason NFL debuts against the Bills in Buffalo on Saturday afternoon.
We're excited about that. Guys are juiced about it. In terms, we have a really good plan and a good process for that. And we have a range of plays that we feel that are going to be good for those particular groups. I'm not going to get into talking about numbers, but we want to see a good flow and a good rhythm to it.
How many TDs, how many turnovers, how many pre-snap penalties are you predicting?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping more touchdowns than the other two combined, right? I don't want to see any turnovers at all, and I certainly don't want to see any pre-snap penalties. So I'm going to say that they do manage a touchdown. I just feel good about life.
Starters?
I'm going to say it.
Starting offense.
Starting offense starts, gets themselves a touchdown, in my opinion. I think it'll be fun to see it happen. Hopefully they can march down the field a little bit and then make a good play to cap a drive. I don't know what more I want to see, to be honest with you. I like that good rhythm, good flow. That would be fantastic if you could see them kind of getting the chains to move a little bit and feel like they're in a flow and they're in like a good feel to what they're doing. I think that it's very low expectations for me. I don't know that I want to see a ton. I certainly don't want to see any contact at all. I mean, I am hoping that they can protect the quarterback. You worry about different issues with the offensive line. You worry about the secondary a little bit when that comes. But this is it, man. This is the new era in Bears football. We're going to be able to sit down with a cup of coffee in the afternoon at noon and watch this game unfold and get a sense of what this team's all about. I'm very excited. Juiced like Flus.
Well, I love how the question is written, but I think, Mully, you're more juiced. I'm more juiced. I'm excited to hear what David has to say next. I almost felt that was a little forced by Flus, to be honest. If you put that through the Dustin interpretation of Flusy there, I felt he was almost like forced to sound enthusiastic. I almost feel like he would rather not
really
play the starters. I felt it was flat. I think this is an anti-Flus.
It reads better than when you listen to it. Is that what you're
saying? Reads a lot better than when you hear it. That's all. I'm just reacting to, I thought he was very, okay, the starters are going to play. We're looking for operation.
We're real excited.
I'm wondering, are they going to they got to put the ball in the air though, right? I'm going to say 1-1-1. They're going to get a touchdown. They are going to turn the ball over, and they are going to have a false start. But I'm jacked. It's must see TV. Oh, Fire up the DVR if you got plans.
Noon on a Saturday, August 10th. You get done with inside the clubhouse. You have a cup of coffee. You turn on the Bears. I am Eber juiced. Ready to go. So I think that Caleb Williams will be efficient more than explosive. I think Shane Waldron better have a couple scripted series ready to go, hand the ball off, get rid of the ball quickly and quick slants to DJ Moore, get some yak, get Keenan Allen involved. If you get to third down, you'll get to third down. And Roma Dunze, work him in. I like the three wide receiver sets. I want to see Cole Kmet. I want to see all the things. The offensive line will be missing. Nate Davis, we'll get to him in a second. But I think they march down the field at least once. They score a touchdown. I think the pre-snap penalty will come up and give Adam Amin, who's calling the game, a chance to point out the operation needs some work still. The cadence still needs some work, and that'll be a storyline. So there'll be one pre-snap penalty, one touchdown, zero turnovers, because it's going to be a clean operation.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, Biggs time 8:25 Brad Biggs with Mully and Haw. Did you like hearing Bears coach Matt Eberflus explain that Nate Davis suffered a setback?
Yeah, he came back. We had him back in there, right? It was individual, and that was some reps, and then he felt it again, you know. So he's dealing with some soft tissue stuff, and so we had to bring him back down and take him out. So, again, we'll start that process over, and we'll see where it goes.
We'll see where it goes. Mark Grody is not happy with what the injury and the timetable. Are you?
Well, the world's a better place when Mark Grody's at peace. So I hope that Mark Grody is happy with that answer. Nate Davis remains an enigma. And I think he remains a mystery wrapped inside a riddle. And I don't know that you know anything more by going week to week instead of day to day, to me that raises more questions than eliminates them. Soft tissue, that could be a number of things. I know they don't have to fill out an injury report, but they've got to be frustrated. They've got to be really frustrated internally that this player that they're paying a lot of money, guaranteed millions of dollars to, has yet to fulfill any of their expectations and really fallen so far away from them. I wonder how the conversation goes about what happens if this continues, what are your sunk costs, these kinds of things, because the word soft and Nate Davis are used in a sentence way too often.
He could endorse Sharman. I had heard speculation it's a groin, that's what he's dealing with, a groin injury.
In the quest.
Okay.
Next.
Are you done?
Yep.
The question says that it's reportedly a groin injury, and he said that they're going to start the process over, meaning they brought him back. He was out with a groin injury. They brought him back, and he had a setback, so they got to kind of start again with him. I like that there's at least a reason and an understanding that there was an injury and that he did have a setback. It's better than people thinking that he just doesn't want to practice. If he's physically having something go awry, that's an explanation. I don't know how serious the injury is, and I am happy, though, that we know what it is, and there is a timetable. So that's good, and Grody was upset about that, and it's good to have that back. But, yeah, reportedly he went down with a groin injury, and we'll find out when he comes back. I still like what Eberflus said about the replacement has an opportunity to win the job, basically. So let's see how that works out in the game. I just don't want there to be any kind of issue with their operation because Nate Davis isn't there. So I want to make sure that, number one, the quarterback's protected. Number two, whoever is in there is aware of what his role is, understands how to do his job, and there aren't any penalties or anything like that. So this is all more to watch for and more to evaluate come Saturday afternoon.
Get into baseball questions.
Voice of Steve Stone, 9 o'clock right here. What was the biggest impression of White Sox GM Chris Getz made explaining the decision to fire Pedro Grifol? Was it wise to eliminate anybody who isn't currently in a major league uniform as a replacement?
No, it's not wise to do that. I think that you should be open to hiring the best guy, no matter who it is. It seems to me that this is, if you don't get along with a guy and he's been rumored to be a candidate, how do you eliminate him? Well, you know, he's not in Major League Baseball. He's doing a podcast. How do you eliminate him? Well, he's not in Major League Baseball. He's doing the pre and post game show. So I just think that. That's what I heard. Now, I we get a chance to talk to Chris, and he can explain to us what it means. But I do think it's good that they're going to talk to multiple people, apparently, who are currently in baseball because they need help with their operation. They need a voice from the outside. They don't need a yes man. They don't need someone to come in here. I think this is what you're hearing, David, when we talk about, oh, this is guy connected to Tony La Russa. They don't want somebody who's hired to be a puppet. That is, I'm talking about the fans or the critics that are saying those things. I agree with that. You don't need a puppet. You need an independent voice that can be part of a group of people that can make a decision.
Good point.
You want someone to listen to what they have to say, but you want someone with their own opinions and their own ideas about doing business.
No
so I think that's a really, really important part of the whole thing.
I'm surprised, as fresh as this all is, that they would do any kind of this is what we're looking for specifically and putting certain people out of contention. I don't think that's a wide enough search when you do that.
I think those are good points. It's very strong to say that because I think that's necessary for him to now do. I need to also clean up follow up the mentioned last segment that I hadn't seen anywhere from Pedro Grifol being quoted. He actually did talk to Daryl Van Skowen of the Sun-Times, or at least texted him and said this: grateful to Jerry, Rick, and Kenny for the opportunity. I have health and a loving family. I have a spiritual foundation that gives me incredible strength peace, and freedom. This won't break me. As a matter of fact, it only motivates me. The next thing I do in my life, I will do it for the love and passion I have for this game and for the sole purpose of serving others. That was in today's Sun Times. That's a good thing to get from Pedro Grifol. As for Chris Getz, I do agree with you guys. It wasn't wise to go into this with these kind of restrictions, almost self-imposed restrictions. And now you've got to know what you're looking for. But I also think that, are you looking to build a consensus, or is this going to be an independent search that is driven? If it's not independent, is it driven by your own convictions? And I don't know that he has been here long enough for us to know that or to trust that. And to me, that's one of the bigger questions Sox fans will have. Do you trust the man in charge of leading this search? Do you believe that this is the man leading this search?
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
That, of course, is the voice of Bruce Levine. He's here at 7 a.m. Okay, it lacks buzz, but the White Sox are energized by the firing of Pedro Grifol. Will it be enough to coax a victory over the Cubs? Two victories? What happens this weekend?
A little more buzz, a little more interest, a lot more people paying attention. That's good for business. I think this ballpark will be full. I'm not sure if it would have been before this happened. So that's good for Chicago sports and Chicago baseball. I don't think it changes anything. Cubs need to win these games. The urgency remains higher on the north side than it does on the south side. We're going to see Garrett Crochet throw 19 pitches tonight and then take exit stage left. Jameson Taillon's going to be dealing probably quality start. They win tonight. They win tomorrow. Cubs sweep. Can you call it a sweep if it's only two games? Mini sweep, mini broom. But they win both games. The Sox play energized baseball, but the bullpen blows it in both nights. Cubs get Sunday off, and it will be after two victories.
Cubs sweep.
Yeah, I think that this is, as much as there is kind of a switch here and a little bit of a buzz maybe, I think this might be a big ask. The Cubs need to win. They are desperate for wins. So they need to win a lot more than the Sox. The Sox would love to win. The Sox would love to find some meaning in their season, which is a meaningless exercise at this point. They are the woat, as I heard someone describe it, worst of all time.
The woat.
How about that? We're waiting on the woat.
What is a woat?
It's like a goat with a W in front of it.
A woat sounds like a sad goat.
So if you lose to the woat, then you don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
What?
It doesn't matter.
Sorry.
I feel like we should write a children's book.
I think we kind of, yeah, we'd be well qualified for that. Given our vocabulary, I think we're all set. Whoa.
So
woat is
so,
me.
So you go in feeling the Cubs are going to sweep. Yes. I'm going to say, just to be ornery, the Sox win 1-2.
Oh, you are so ornery.
Thank you. That's for Dustin.
Wow, that's a good question.
That is the voice of Ron Coomer. He is here at 8 o'clock. Is there any White Sox player beside Luis Robert Jr. that you think is better than what the Cubs have? And speaking of Robert, would you rather have him or P. Crow Armstrong over the next 5 years?
Okay, it's fun stuff. Listen, Luis Robert Jr. was an all-star last year, and he has that capability. Did he hit 38 homers last year? And he hasn't been able to match any of those numbers. He was hurt for a long period of time. I don't think they're going to have him over the next 5 years, so it's difficult. I think PCA is going to be around. I think he's a young player, is going to be around. I'm not sure that Luis Robert is going to be anything other than traded eventually here. So I'm sure they want him to put up numbers toward the end of the year so that can help in their offseason moving of Luis Robert Jr. I don't think they're building around him. I think over the next 5 years, he will be a better player than Pete Crow Armstrong because I think he's one of the best center fielders in the game. Unfortunately, because he's in Chicago, because of everything that's gone on, it hasn't worked. But if you traded him to the right place, he could be a hell of a player for a very long time. So, I got to see more from PCA. I know he's had a good month, but he hasn't had a good year. And I'm going with my guy, Luis Robert Jr., in any comparison with pretty much anyone. I think Mike Trout has had a better career than him, but I thought that maybe this might be a year where he could play better than Trout. Now, I didn't know Trout was getting hurt, but I just thought this might be a year where he was going to step up, and it hasn't happened really like Luis Robert Jr. I think there's nothing on the baseball field he can't do as far as Sox players better than Cubs players. I mean, it's virtually impossible to find anyone on the White Sox that would be better than anyone in baseball. That's how bad this team is. Did you see, by the way, that they pulled Oscar Colas from a game in AAA last night, seemingly indicating that he's on the way?
He can come up now. Pedro's gone.
That's what my point is. Maybe that's the guy
Pedro
that was
blocking
that is,
Oscar Colas.
That's one of my questions.
He was the un-Colas.
Yep.
Garrett Crochet, he's pretty good. I think I'd take him. I mean, Shota's been great, but Garrett Crochet be a guy that you'd take.
Garrett Crochet, right? Yeah. Take him over. Would you take him over Justin Steele?
I would. I think I'd almost take him over. I think I'd almost take him over Shota as well. I mean, I just think his here's the reason, though. I think his ceiling is, like, unbelievable, potentially, right? Like, he just has this. So that's where I'd go with that. I mean, you know, we've had fun over the last year, I guess, or 8 months, however long it's been. You know, my PCA is going to be the biggest guy in Chicago by the time we get to whatever year that was. You know, and there's some really interesting quotes out of the Sun-Times this morning. You know, PCA saying that he's evolved, and not only as a baseball player, but as a human being, saying that he, and this is because he's had enough time now to evaluate my failures, and I haven't ever had a surplus of those in my life. So that kind of something to think about. I mean, Luis Robert Jr. should be a better baseball player than PCA. But I think, Molly, to your point when you started your answer, PCA, I think, is going to be in Chicago longer than Luis Robert Jr.
That's a good one. Maybe that should have been the question, because over the next 5 years, I think definitely Luis Robert Jr., if he regains his health and stroke and all of those things, is capable of being an MVP. Is the same true for Pete Crow-Armstrong? Maybe. But right now, as we speak, Pete Crow-Armstrong comes into tonight's game hitting .206. Luis Robert, .207. Luis Robert's war is, I think, 0.6. Pete Crow-Armstrong's 1.1. Pete Crow-Armstrong's had a better year, and he struggled. Luis Robert Jr. is on the worst team in baseball and has struggled, and with injury and other reasons. So it's not the woe of all questions, but I do think that it makes you think, it just reinforces how bad of a season Luis Robert Jr. has had and how resurgent of a month PCA has had. They come in headed in opposite directions, but I think there's no question. Luis Robert Jr. at one point was being, you know, talked about in comparison to Mike Trout, in comparison to being a top 10 talent in the majors. He just has to fulfill it by staying healthy. PCA could still be a dynamic center fielder and going to be an asset. I like all those comments, Dustin. I think the kid has a lot to say. He's very introspective, and he's fun to watch. So both center fielders are exciting. I still think that over the next 5 years, Luis Robert Jr. has a chance to be better.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What was your favorite moment of Team USA in their wild comeback, 95-91 victory over Jokic and Serbia in the Olympic semifinal yesterday? The rally from 17 down, despite a near-perfect game from an opponent, generational heroes LeBron, Steph, KD riding up to the rescue, battle of the MVPs, Joker losing to the four-timer LeBron, two-timer Steph, and former MVP KD and Joel Embiid, or the scoring masterclass supplied by Steph? Will the gold medal game versus France be anything more than a formality now?
This was a pleasure to watch. This was a privilege to be able to see this game and understand how long people will be talking about what happened. This was one of those moments. I know it was Thursday afternoon in August, but we'll be talking about this for years because of what it represented. You had the fourth quarter of a game. I think the U.S. trailed by 11 with 7 minutes to go, right? Double-digit deficit. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry I don't know. You have to go back to the Dream Team to find a trio that decorated who meant as much to the sport as these three guys do. Took over in different ways. LeBron with the triple-double, running the show. KD hitting clutch shot after clutch shot. And then Steph Curry going nuts like we were waiting for him to do. This was epic. This was historically good stuff. And I didn't want it to end. I'm glad that it did with the Team USA victory. Did they deserve it? Yes, absolutely they deserved it because they came back. I don't care what they did for the first three quarters. They flipped that switch. They won when they needed to win and gave everybody watching an example of that American competitiveness and everything else that we talk about and glorify. This was an Olympic moment. Now, is the gold all but certain? You don't want to take it for granted, but Team France is done. Yes, it is all but a formality. Did you see Rudy Gobert only played 5 minutes? You don't have to worry about him. So I think Team USA goes for gold, wins it, and I hope people can lay off Steve Kerr now.
Steph Curry's ninth three-pointer that made it 87-86 when they took the lead, I believe, for the first time in the fourth quarter. I think that was the moment that you'll remember. And, yeah, Steph was spectacular. And, yeah, I don't think they have any problem with France. The biggest question is can they cover 16.5? That's the number from Circus Sports Illinois, 16.5.
Big number.
Here's the deal. I mean this sincerely. I believe it was Dennis Schroeder, the German guard, after they played the U.S. the first time. He said something like, if we play a perfect game, we beat every team in this competition by 20 points. But we could play a perfect game and still lose to the USA. And I'll tell you what, Serbia played a perfect game. Everything they threw up went down. They banked in shots from three-point range. It was just as if anything they did was going to work. They had a guy who shoots like 23% from three, knocked down four of them in the first half. They were up by 17. And to see the U.S., they didn't come back in the third quarter in the way I thought they might. I thought they were going to take control of the game, and it was still a struggle. But by the end of that game, watching all these guys, the way they played, Joel Embiid, man, was he good at the end of that game. Very important for him to be that good. And certainly LeBron makes one of the huge shots. Steph Curry, what a masterclass. He was Steph Curry, and that's the first time he's led the team. Every game they played, they've had a different leading scorer. And they came back, and they stayed with a group of five players. Very interesting that they did that late in the game. And they did make a couple of adjustments, and they end up winning that game. And I got to tell you, I was hanging on every bucket in that game. I was yelling my head off. It was so much fun.
It was fun
as a basketball game. My God, was that a fun, good basketball game where you see like real greatness, kind of shine when they had to have. Can you imagine what we'd be talking about if they lost that game this morning?
It would have been the biggest story in the country.
So now they take on France, which is a relatively young team. I watched some of the France-Germany game too. I got to tell you, Germany kind of led early and then France came back. That's a good French team. I'm not saying that it isn't, but I think that they're not mature enough at this point to be able to handle the U.S. team, which is wide awake, eyes wide open. They got one game left, and they're getting gold.
Do you think the criticism of Steve Kerr is valid?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
I think it's virtually impossible to coach that many great players. And I also think that to answer Dustin's question from earlier, that if we go into the LA Olympics and you're without, three or four of the players around this team, there'll be three or four guys that will be breaking their arses just as much and playing maybe harder. And you don't have to worry about
the US
being good.
Do you know how many stars are going to be developing over the next 4 years?
Yes.
That's why I wouldn't worry so much about that
void.
I
totally agree with that. There are great players in the NBA that we're not even talking about. There are great players on this team that don't even get much time. And there are great players that didn't even get put on this team. But the great players that were there all turned up when it mattered most, and that's what it's about. I thought LeBron, the way that he's almost a coach on the court.
LeBron was phenomenal.
Steph Curry, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And I think that all that stuff stood up and it showed up and it was a great
win. It was special.
What a fun game. My God. Unbelievable. All right. We've got an extra point next. We're going to get to that. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 the score.
What's a realistic potential White Sox managerial list, and how attractive or unattractive is this job after two straight 100-plus loss seasons?
Well, I think the list does start with the name everybody mentioned yesterday who wrote about this or spoke about it. Skip Schumacher has a link to Tony La Russa that will be an impediment he'll have to overcome. And that will be maybe the biggest one he would have to overcome in terms of an obstacle because of the link to Tony and all that represents to a lot of people who were understandably cynical about the process. Go through the process, but you start with Skip Schumacher. I think that makes a lot of sense. We mentioned why A.J. Pierzynski and Ozzie Guillen are unlikely to be part of the list. David Ross, same deal. Joe Maddon, for those who want to dream. Joe Girardi, not in uniform. So those five guys are eliminated, I think, initially because of the criteria established by Chris Getz. The next manager will be in uniform. So you got Skip Schumacher. You've got maybe Mets bench coach John Gibbons was a name I saw floated in the Sun-Times because he managed Chris Getz in Toronto in 2014. There's a familiarity there. Gibbons had two stints with the Blue Jays. He's got experience. He's also 61. So I wonder, do the Sox need younger and more a manager they could grow with? There are going to be names that may surface. I see Terry Francona out there. We mentioned him, and I thought that was one that was sensible. But he's not in a major league uniform this year. So does that disqualify him? The list will come together. We mentioned a lot of names now and yesterday. I still think the most likely scenario would be Skip Schumacher. And, hey, if he wants to bring Kim Ng to be the head of baseball operations or whatever you want to title her, that would still be my dream scenario for the White Sox. I was told yesterday that's not realistic. I should stop suggesting that, as I did a couple times. But until it doesn't happen, I still think it makes a lot of sense. She would stabilize the front office and give it credibility. And Skip Schumacher is the reigning NL manager of the year, so he brings his credentials too. That, to me, would be plan A.
Paul Hoover, Joe Dillon, Zach Bove, Andy Ferguson. Who are they? Well, they are all uniformed members of the Kansas City Royals coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean,
well played.
Here's the problem with this question, frankly. You know, you're coming into a team that has two straight 100-plus losses. You're coming into a team that wants to trade its best players, its two best players. You're coming into a team whose timetable is probably 3 years away? Two years, three years away?
Bless you.
And by the way, the guy that you're replacing was making $1 million. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be heavily paid. You've got a dysfunctional organization. Who wants this job? Who would want this job? You know, okay, somebody who knows Tony might want the job. Okay, that sounds good. And you know, people want jobs. Everyone wants to be a manager. But is this... Are you setting yourself up for failure? I honestly wonder if you can ask that question during a job interview. Hey, are you setting me up for failure, or are you going to fire me within 2 years, or are you going to keep me and see what happens?
You are the point A manager. You know you're unlikely to be the point B to C manager.
Exactly.
So you are being hired to be fired eventually if you are on a 3-year.
So if you're not getting paid for it, why would you do it?
Only because you don't have a managerial job now.
Yeah.
Or you're out of contract somewhere.
What I'm saying is they're not looking for Craig Counsell. They're not looking for the best guy to give the most money to bring him in here.
They're not poaching anybody.
No. They're looking. I mean, you could argue that Miami is like a worse situation than the White Sox are. You can make that argument.
That's why Skip Schumacher is available.
This is what I'm saying.
So there's more dysfunction in Miami. So Skip Schumacher may look at this situation because of, oddly enough, and this will make people cringe, the presence of Tony La Russa less dysfunctional than the situation he's in right now.
Crazy.
So he'll come here and feel like it's a warm nest to land. I'm speculating.
I know.
He hasn't said that.
No.
He'll be asked about that.
We're speculating. Yeah. This is,
but if
let's rattle off every name of the Kansas City coaching staff. We're doing.
If I were, again, if the old days, if you were doing this story correctly and you covered the White Sox, I would be inclined to say, okay, White Sox beat writer, baseball columnist, whoever in Chicago, watch the Cubs and Sox play Friday and Saturday and get to wherever the Miami Marlins are playing on Sunday. Take advantage of your day off and go find out who this Skip Schumacher character is.
Yes.
And gauge his interest, get to the bottom of what is dysfunctional enough to have him out of contract and want to leave. And then we'll talk about and regroup next Monday about this field of candidates for a job nobody wants.
312-644-6767. We're going to get to your phone calls. We got a lot to talk about. We got the Sox managerial job, as just mentioned. We've got the debut of Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, the 2024 version. We've got a gold medal game because of that unbelievable game yesterday. Want to get your thoughts on that. We are we're picking it all apart, and we're interested in your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Oh, yeah, the Cubs and the Sox play. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
I was hoping we'd get at least a day or two off without having to talk about this team, but here we are again. And, I mean, listen, I don't know. I mean, you never want to see anybody lose their job, but when you're 28 and 89, it's hard to justify keeping anybody around. It's not a happy day if you're a White Sox fan. I mean, a lot of people are celebrating because he's gone, but what's next? That's the question I have to ask is, what's next? Who's next? I know they hired Grady Sizemore as their interim guy, but is he the answer? Is he the long-term answer? I don't know. I hope they find the right guy, and I hope they find a guy that's willing to rebuild the organization from the ground up. Now, that's going to start with Jerry Reinsdorf. That's going to start with Chris Getz. That's going to start with the people at the top. But they haven't made a lot of changes, like Cam said, over the years. So we'll see how it happens. But as a White Sox fan, I mean, I hope they get the decision right. And, oh, yeah, by the way, guys, my phone works. My phone works. I take phone calls.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That, of course, the voice of A.J. Pierzynski. He's on his podcast, the Foul Territory podcast, and he was talking about the White Sox job, and his phone is available.
His phone is available. Typically in job searches or other situations, if you have to announce the fact that your phone is working and it's not ringing, saying it, you're willing to take a call probably doesn't increase the chance of getting one. If you haven't gotten one already, you might not get one. Why they would stay away from A.J. Pierzynski is somewhat baffling. I don't know what they would be afraid of. He doesn't have experience, but he is a link to the 2005 championship if you're looking for a reason to call or to, you know, ring his phone. He also has the respect and reputation as being a very good baseball guy. He's never managed before. Does that inexperience scare you? It would be on brand for the White Sox. It would be insular because of a former player. It would be a guy that has no managing experience. It would be more fiery version of Robin Ventura. But I don't expect AJ to be in the mix. Do you?
No, I don't. I'd be curious to what happens if he was in the mix. I always like to hear from people as to what their ideas are. I wonder if that's the case with Chris Getz. Is he eager to hear what ideas people have about his group? Does he want people his team? Well, that's why I'd interview. I'd interview everyone in baseball.
Could interview AJ, or you could just listen to his podcast, because he does have a plan for how he would fix the White Sox.
By the way, guys, my phone works. My phone works. I take phone calls.
So you do want to take a phone call about how to fix him?
I mean, I would love to figure out how to fix him. I mean, I'm a White Sox fan, but
absolutely,
I'd love to be some. Listen, I would love. I've asked Jerry Reinsdorf many times to let me help this organization, and he has never ever let me try to do it. So maybe one day, maybe this is the time where I actually do get that phone call.
Okay, so I know you love role play. If you get that phone call and he says, "What's your pitch? What are you doing? What are you fixing?" What are you saying?
Everything. We're starting over. Everything. You know what we need to do? You know what you need to do? Honestly, you need to be, and this is what we say about like the Rockies, right? And what the Rays did. You got to find some way to get outside of what everyone else is doing. The Rays have gotten outside kind of what everyone else is doing, and now everybody wants a piece of that. You have to be the next organization. I know they made a crappy movie about Moneyball, but they were the first organization to really embrace analytics, right? So what can you do as an organization to get outside and in front of everything that everybody else is doing? You have to figure that out and then start from the ground up and build your organization to a point where you can be a consistent winner. And it just has not happened in Chicago for a long time.
I think that's a very strong message and great insight from a guy who knows the White Sox organization and knows baseball. I don't know if his opinions would be welcome, but I don't know why not, Mully. It was earlier this summer. I made a strong pitch and said, why don't they ask Frank Thomas for advice or direction? And why is he not on the payroll? Why isn't AJ Pierzynski? Do they resist strong personalities because the personalities are too strong? Is that something that eliminates them from the equation? Does AJ have a plan that would cost too much money? Is it too ambitious? I don't know what would prevent them from wanting to get as many good, fresh ideas on how to rebuild and recapture some of that credibility.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we're going to be talking to Chris Getz in just a little bit, and I'm very curious to have him articulate to us what the plan is and what the timetable of the plan, what it will take. It doesn't sound like, and you know this organization as well as anyone, David, it doesn't sound like the plan is to spend money, go out and buy players, go out and do what you have to do to be competitive in a major market. It seems more like the plan is to bide your time, develop talent, and hope that the guys that come up actually pop, actually end up being what you thought they were when you brought them up.
AJ referenced the Rays. AJ referenced, you look at some other teams' examples that have this sort of approach. AJ could reference, and anyone could reference, small market approaches because they have to be small market approaches.
They have to be fiscally responsible.
They do. But you know what? The White Sox are a big market team that behaves like a small market team. And that's where things are in conflict here. What do you want to do to rebuild the White Sox? Well, it would be expensive. We talked during the break.
Yes.
What are you going to pay the next manager?
That's exactly right.
Well, Pedro Grifol was making $1 million, and you got what you paid for.
You did.
So the next manager has to be at least $2 million a year as a salary. That's a starting point, I would think.
Just to get someone in here.
Just to become just to get
competitive.
A level of interest.
Frank Council is leading managers at $8 million a year. Is he 8 times better than Pedro? I'd say he's more like 15 times better.
Well, the Cubs are behaving like a big market team. They went out and you could argue that they overspent on their manager, but they invested in his message, in his approach, in his brain, all the things. The White Sox don't have to spend $8 million on their next manager, but I do think they have to find a happy medium. You don't have to be among the top 5 highest paid managers in baseball. You don't have to hire that guy, but you don't want to be in the lower 5, the bottom 5 either, not in Chicago. So I think that when AJ says you start over, you change everything, I think that would begin with changing the approach to spending and being willing to spend on baseball intellect. And if you're able to do that or willing to do that, you're going to get a quality manager, or at least a guy that gives you feeling that you're headed in the right direction.
See, the problem with the White Sox, as I see it, is that they're going to set a record for the most losses in a single season. And we've seen it, right? They were in contention. Then they were like 500. Then they were a 100-game loser. Now they're like the worst team ever. So you see where this is heading. Here's the problem. They're not even done with the teardown. They still want to trade Garrett Crochet. The minute there's no longer a concern about how many innings he's pitching, whether he's available for the postseason, that's when they're going to trade him. So that's the offseason. And they're not even down to the studs. They're going to trade him for position players that can help in the rebuild, but that's not going to help them immediately.
It's not.
So how are they going to get better by getting rid of the best pitcher they have right now?
They're only going to get better in the future, and they're going to continue the descent in the present. So your manager, your next hire, is going to be somebody who has to embrace that, understand that, and isn't surprised when that happens. That probably eliminates a lot of the veteran guys whose names we have mentioned already. That probably eliminates a guy like Terry Francona. Why would he do this?
Exactly.
Maybe a guy like Gibbons who may just want a job, but you know what? Is he the right guy for the job? You know, what we're talking about and what we're describing is either a guy with no managerial experience, maybe the ex-player, maybe the AJ type, but I think he would scare Chris Getz. I don't think they get along real well.
Right.
But somebody like Patrick Leland, who is in the organization, is he disqualified because he's in the organization? I'm only throwing that name out there, Molly, because he has been mentioned previously.
I have heard the name I mentioned. I mean,
but I know nothing about him.
He's a member of the club. He's got the bloodlines, and he fits in with the old boys network that runs this team. I get it. I understand all that. What I'm saying is they're going to be reducing their talent level in the offseason, trading their best player, mm-hmm. maybe their top two best players, in order to get better. How are you going to win? How are you going to prevent yourself from being worse next year as opposed to as bad, as opposed to in content? They're not going to be in contention forever. They haven't even begun. They haven't finished the teardown, let alone, you know, they're not down to the studs yet.
They're not down to the studs. They're not done with the teardown. But what you can do in hiring a new manager and hopefully giving Chris Getz time, and I don't know how much confidence that people have in his vision, but you've got to be organizationally in sync. So your AA Birmingham Barons having the great year this year, how does that translate? Are they playing the same way as your major league team and every other team in your system? I think there's something that unifies great organizations at every level, and the White Sox haven't really identified that. You can lose 95 games next year, but do so in a way that gives you a little bit more hope than...
They seem more likely to lose 140 next year if you're following
I was trying
decline.
To be optimistic.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I don't think that's asking so much to try not to lose 100 games, but. I do think that when you start talking about prospects, when you start talking about, well, we got this guy, we got that guy, and we're going to come. Listen, the prospects change. Guys who you think are the next guy up and the next big thing, they struggle. All of a sudden, someone else is coming up. It's a real difficult
You're saying
thing.
Don't trust a nickname. Cuban Otani may end up to be a big disappointment.
I'm saying
Colson Montgomery is not ready to
Colson
come up
Montgomery's
right now.
Not ready to come
we
up,
should be anticipating his promotion, and right now
he's
you're
not
wondering
ready. He's 35% strikeout rate.
Is he overmatched at AAA?
Is he more likely to go back to AA than to come to the major leagues? And that guy was a top 10 prospect at one point.
That's
Where
an indicting question. That's a very indicting question, and it's a fair one.
All right, we're going to bring in Bruce and continue the conversation. 312-644-6767, Mullion Hall on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken
took
care
forever,
of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Get to that. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 the score.
What's a realistic potential White Sox managerial list, and how attractive or unattractive is this job after two straight 100-plus loss seasons?
Well, I think the list does start with the name everybody mentioned yesterday who wrote about this or spoke about it. Skip Schumacher has a link to Tony La Russa that will be an impediment he'll have to overcome, and that will be maybe the biggest one he would have to overcome in terms of an obstacle because of the link to Tony and all that represents to a lot of people who were understandably cynical about the process. Go through the process, but you start with Skip Schumacher. I think that makes a lot of sense. We mentioned why A.J. Pierzynski and Ozzie Guillen are unlikely to be part of the list. David Ross, same deal. Joe Maddon, for those who want to dream. Joe Girardi, not in uniform. So those five guys are eliminated, I think, initially all because of the criteria established by Chris Getz, the next manager will be in uniform. So you got Skip Schumacher. You've got maybe Mets bench coach John Gibbons was a name I saw floated in the Sun-Times because he managed Chris Getz in Toronto in 2014. There's a familiarity there. Gibbons had two stints with the Blue Jays. He's got experience. He's also 61. So I wonder, do the Sox need younger and more a manager they could grow with? There are going to be names that may surface. I see Terry Francona out there. We mentioned him, and I thought that was one that was sensible. But he's not in a major league uniform this year. So does that disqualify him? The list will come together. We mentioned a lot of names now and yesterday. I still think the most likely scenario would be Skip Schumacher. And, hey, if he wants to bring Kim Ng to be the head of baseball operations or whatever you want to title her, that would still be my dream scenario for the White Sox. I was told yesterday that's not realistic. I should stop suggesting that, as I did a couple times. But until it doesn't happen, I still think it makes a lot of sense. She would stabilize the front office and give it credibility. And Skip Schumacher is the reigning NL Manager of the Year, so he brings his credentials too. That, to me, would be plan A.
Paul Hoover, Joe Dillon, Zach Bove, Andy Ferguson. Who are they? Well, they are all uniformed members of the Kansas City Royals coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean,
well played.
Here's the problem with this question, frankly. You know, you're coming into a team that has two straight 100-plus losses. You're coming into a team that wants to trade its best players, its two best players. You're coming into a team whose timetable is probably 3 years away, three years away.
Bless you.
And by the way, the guy that you're replacing was making $1 million. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be heavily paid. You've got a dysfunctional organization. Who wants this job? Who would want this job? You know, okay, somebody who knows Tony might want the job. Okay, that sounds good. And you know, people want jobs. Everyone wants to be a manager. But is this, are you setting yourself up for failure? I honestly wonder if you can ask that question during a job interview. Hey, are you setting me up for failure, or are you going to fire me within 2 years, or are you going to keep me and see what happens?
You are the point A manager. You know you're unlikely to be the point B to C manager.
Exactly.
So you are being hired to be fired eventually if you are on a 3-year
timetable. So if you're not getting paid for it, why would you do it?
Only because you don't have a managerial job now.
Yeah.
Or you're out of contract somewhere.
What I'm saying is they're not looking for Craig Counsell. They're not looking for the best guy to give the most money to bring him in here.
They're not poaching anybody.
No. They're looking. I mean, you could argue that Miami is like a worse situation than the White Sox are. You can make that argument.
That's why Skip Schumacher is available.
This is what I'm saying.
So there's more dysfunction in Miami. So Skip Schumacher may look at this situation because of, oddly enough, and this will make people cringe, the presence of Tony La Russa less dysfunctional than the situation he's in right now.
Crazy.
So he'll come here and feel like it's a warm nest to land. I'm speculating.
I know.
He hasn't said that.
No.
He'll be asked about that.
We're speculating. Yeah. This is, you know,
but if I
let's
were,
rattle off every name of the Kansas City coaching staff. That's what we're doing.
If I were... Again, if the old days, if you were doing this story correctly and you covered the White Sox, I would be inclined to say, okay, White Sox beat writer, baseball columnist, whoever in Chicago, watch the Cubs and Sox play Friday and Saturday and get to wherever the Miami Marlins are playing on Sunday. Take advantage of your day off and go find out who this Skip Schumacher character is.
Yes.
Engage his interest. Get to the bottom of what is dysfunctional enough to have him out of contract and want to leave. And then we'll talk about and regroup next Monday about this field of candidates for a job nobody wants.
312-644-6767. We're going to get to your phone calls. We got a lot to talk about. We got the Sox managerial job, as just mentioned. We've got the debut of Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, the 2024 version. We've got a gold medal game because of that unbelievable game yesterday. Want to get your thoughts on that. We're picking it all apart, and we're interested in your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Oh, yeah, the Cubs and the Sox play. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
I was hoping we'd get at least a day or two off without having to talk about this team, but here we are again. And I mean, listen, I don't know. I mean, you never want to see anybody lose their job. But when you're 28 and 89, it's hard to justify keeping anybody around. It's not a happy day if you're a White Sox fan. I mean, a lot of people are celebrating because he's gone, but what's next? That's the question I have to ask is, what's next? Who's next? I know they hired Grady Sizemore as their interim guy, but is he the answer? Is he the long-term answer? I don't know. I hope they find the right guy, and I hope they find a guy that's willing to rebuild the organization from the ground up. Now, that's going to start with Jerry Reinsdorf. That's going to start with Chris Getz. That's going to start with the people at the top. But they haven't made a lot of changes, like Cam said, over the years. So we'll see how it happens. But as a White Sox fan, I mean, I hope they get the decision right. And, oh, yeah, by the way, guys, my phone works. My phone works. I take phone calls.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That, of course, the voice of A.J. Pierzynski. He's on his podcast, the Foul Territory podcast, and he was talking about the White Sox job, and his phone is available.
His phone is available. Typically in job searches or other situations, if you have to announce the fact that your phone is working and it's not ringing, saying it, you're willing to take a call probably doesn't increase the chance of getting one. If you haven't gotten one already, you might not get one. Why they would stay away from A.J. Pierzynski is somewhat baffling. I don't know what they would be afraid of. He doesn't have experience, but he is a link to the 2005 championship if you're looking for a reason to call or to, you know, ring his phone. He also has the respect and reputation as being a very good baseball guy. He's never managed before. Does that inexperience scare you? It would be on brand for the White Sox. It would be insular because of a former player. It would be a guy that has no managing experience. It would be more fiery version of Robin Ventura. But I don't expect AJ to be in the mix. Do you?
No. No, I don't. I'd be curious what happens if he was in the mix. I always like to hear from people as to what their ideas are. I wonder if that's the case with Chris Getz. Is he eager to hear what ideas people have about his group? Does he want people
looking
at his team? Well, that's why I'd interview. I'd interview everyone in baseball.
You could interview AJ, or you could just listen to his podcast, because he does have a plan for how he would fix the White Sox.
By the way, guys, my phone works. My phone works. I take phone calls.
So you do want to take a phone call about how to fix them?
I mean, I would love to figure out how to fix them. I mean, I'm a White Sox fan, but
absolutely,
I'd love to be some. Listen, I would love. I've asked Jerry Reinsdorf many times to let me help this organization, and he has never ever let me try to do it. So maybe one day, maybe this is the time where I actually do get that phone call.
Okay, so I know you love role play. If you get that phone call and he says, "What's your pitch? What are you doing? What are you fixing? What are you saying?"
Everything. We're starting over. Everything. You know what we need to do? You know what you need to do? Honestly, you need to be, and this is what we say about like the Rockies, right? And what the Rays did. You got to find some way to get outside of what everyone else is doing. The Rays have gotten outside kind of what everyone else is doing, and now everybody wants a piece of that. You have to be the next organization. I know they made a crappy movie about Moneyball, but they were the first organization to really embrace analytics, right? So what can you do as an organization to get outside and in front of everything that everybody else is doing? You have to figure that out and then start from the ground up and build your organization to a point where you can be a consistent winner. And it just has not happened in Chicago for a long time.
Hmm. I think that's a very strong message and great insight from a guy who knows the White Sox organization and knows baseball. I don't know if his opinions would be welcome. But I don't know why not, Mully. It was earlier this summer. I made a strong pitch and said, why don't they ask Frank Thomas for advice or direction? And why is he not on the payroll? Why isn't AJ Pierzynski? Do they resist strong personalities because the personalities are too strong? Is that something that eliminates them from the equation? Does AJ have a plan that would cost too much money? Is it too ambitious? I don't know what would prevent them from wanting to get as many good, fresh ideas on how to rebuild and recapture some of that credibility.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we're going to be talking to Chris Getz in just a little bit, and I'm very curious to have him articulate to us what the plan is and what the timetable of the plan, what it will take. It doesn't sound like, and you know this organization as well as anyone, David, it doesn't sound like the plan is to spend money, go out and buy players, go out and do what you have to do to be competitive in a major market. It seems more like the plan is to bide your time, develop talent, and hope that the guys that come up actually pop, actually end up being what you thought they were when you brought them up.
AJ referenced the Rays. AJ referenced, you look at some other teams' examples that have this sort of approach. AJ could reference, and anyone could reference, small market approaches because they have to be small market approaches.
They have to be fiscally responsible.
They do. But you know what? The White Sox are a big market team that behaves like a small market team. And that's where things are in conflict here. What do you want to do to rebuild the White Sox? Well, it would be expensive. We talked during the break.
Yes.
What are you going to pay the next manager?
That's exactly right.
Well, Pedro Grifol was making $1 million, and you got what you paid for.
You did.
So the next manager has to be at least $2 million a year as a salary. That's a starting point,
just
I would think.
Just to get someone in here.
Just to become, just to get.
Be competitive.
A level of interest.
Frank Council is leading managers at $8 million a year. Is he 8 times better than Pedro? I'd say he's more like 15 times better.
Well, the Cubs are behaving like a big market team. They went out and you could argue that they overspent on their manager, but they invested in his message, in his approach, in his brain, all the things. The White Sox don't have to spend $8 million on their next manager, but I do think they have to find a happy medium. You don't have to be among the top 5 highest paid managers in baseball. You don't have to hire that guy, but you don't want to be in the lower 5, the bottom 5 either, not in Chicago. So I think that when AJ says you start over, you change everything. I think that would begin with changing the approach to spending and being willing to spend on baseball intellect. And if you're able to do that or willing to do that, you're going to get a quality manager, or at least a guy that gives you feeling that you're headed in the right direction.
See, the problem with the White Sox, as I see it, is that they're going to set a record for the most losses in a single season. And we've seen it, right? They were in contention. Then they were like 500. Then they were a 100-game loser. Now they're like the worst team ever. So you see where this is heading. Here's the problem. They're not even done with the teardown. They still want to trade Garrett Crochet. The minute there's no longer a concern about how many innings he's pitching, whether he's available for the postseason, that's when they're going to trade him. So that's the offseason. And they're not even down to the studs. They're going to trade him for position players that can help in the rebuild, but that's not going to help them immediately.
It's not.
So how are they going to get better by getting rid of the best pitcher they have right now?
They're only going to get better in the future, and they're going to continue the descent in the present. So your manager, your next hire, is going to be somebody who has to embrace that, understand that, and isn't surprised when that happens. That probably eliminates a lot of the veteran guys whose names we have mentioned already. That probably eliminates a guy like Terry Francona. Why would he do this?
Exactly.
Maybe a guy like Gibbons, who may just want a job, but you know what? Is he the right guy for the job? You know, what we're talking about and what we're describing is either a guy with no managerial experience, maybe the ex-player, maybe the AJ type, but I think he would scare Chris Getz. I don't think they get along real well.
Right.
But somebody like Patrick Leland, who is in the organization, is he disqualified because he's in the organization? I'm only throwing that name out there, Molly, because he has been mentioned previously.
I have heard the name I mentioned. I mean,
but I know nothing about him.
He's a member of the club. He's got the bloodlines, and he fits in with the old boys network that runs this team. I get it. I understand all that. What I'm saying is they're going to be reducing their talent level in the offseason, trading their best player, mm-hmm. maybe their top two best players, in order to get better. How are you going to win? How are you going to prevent yourself from being worse next year as opposed to as bad, as opposed to in contention? They're not going to be in contention forever. They haven't even begun. They haven't finished the teardown, let alone, you know, they're not down to the studs yet.
They're not down to the studs. They're not done with the teardown. But what you can do in hiring a new manager and hopefully giving Chris Getz time, and I don't know how much confidence that people have in his vision, but you've got to be organizationally in sync. So your AA Birmingham Barons having the great year this year, how does that translate? Are they playing the same way as your major league team and every other team in your system? I think there's something that unifies great organizations at every level, and the White Sox haven't really identified that. You can lose 95 games next year, but do so in a way that gives you a little bit more hope than...
They seem more likely to lose 140 next year if you're following.
I was trying to be optimistic.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that's asking so much to try not to lose 100 games. But I do think that when you start talking about prospects, when you start talking about, well, we got this guy, we got that guy, and we're going to come. Listen, the prospects prospects change. Guys who you think are the next guy up and the next big thing, they struggle. All of a sudden, someone else is coming up. It's a real difficult
You're saying
thing.
Don't trust a nickname. Cuban Otani may end up to be a big disappointment.
I'm saying
Colson Montgomery is not ready to
Colson
come up.
Montgomery's
right
not
now,
ready to come
we
up,
should be anticipating his promotion. And right now,
he's
you're
not
wondering.
Ready. He's 35% strikeout rate.
Is he overmatched at AAA?
Is he more likely to go back to AA than to come to the major leagues? And that guy was a top 10 prospect at one point.
That's an indicting question. That's a very indicting question, and it's a fair one.
All right, we're going to bring in Bruce and continue the conversation. 312-644-6767, Mully and Haw on the score.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some from my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.